Do tell. I'm speaking. Excuse me. So we had a discussion just now about mantra and yantra and the power of yantra, doing yantra puja along with the chanting of your particular diksha mantra, and something about how the effect of it and benefits of it and the history of it. It's an ancient practice. But now we don't, Lord Chaitanya, he did not teach this method of bhajan. And Chaitanya Charitamrita says that the mukhya practice is Nam Sankirtan. It says Nam Shrestha, Shrestha Sadhana. Krishna's Kaviraj is telling him Madhyan Leela, or maybe it's Lord Chaitanya speaking to Sanatan, it's in that section. Sanatan Shiksha, he's saying that, he's saying Bhakti Sadhana Shrestha Nam, Nam Bhajan. That Shrestha means the best of all the forms of sadhana is Nam, Nam Bhajan, chanting Nam. Nam means, because he could have said mantra, mantra bhajan. There's Nam and mantra. Nam means Hari Haraya Nama Krishna, Hari Krishna, Radhi Radhi. This is Nam. Mantra means Gopal mantra, Guru mantra, Radha mantra, like this. Okay. Gayatri mantra, this is mantra. So this is the main thing. But if you want to, according to Hari Bhakti Vilas, Hari Bhakti Vilas has, which is in English, has about 240 verses. I've given classes about this, maybe you've heard. There's 240 verses about Purush Charan Brat. Purush Charan. Maybe you've heard this term here and there. Six Goswamis have done Purush Charan Bratas, and although they didn't, we don't hear about them doing Yantra Puja, but we do hear about them doing Purush Charan Brat, but they're not, it's not easy, the actual way. There's five aspects of it. And I've also done that also. And then there's the Purush Charan Brata. Then there's so many verses about how to do it. And every day you have to feed Brahmins. Every day you have to do puja. Every day you have to do homa. And every day. But the main aspect of Purush Charan Brata, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati did Purush Charan Brata, is chanting of mantra a fixed number of times in a fixed in a set number of days. In 40 days, I'll chant 3 lakhs of Gopal mantra, or I'll chant 1 billion names of the Lord. Did you ever hear Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati? He took some brata in Mayapur or so. He took to chant 1 billion names of the Lord, and it took him 8 years or something like that. So that was a Purush Charan Brata, I believe so he was doing. So generally Purush Charan Brata is done with Gopal mantra. All right? Now, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, he's talking in these 234 verses about Purush Charan Brat, how to do it. And even that, I don't even know if it's told there, but you must follow this Brat being, oh, battery's getting low. Must follow this Brat being guided by someone who's followed it. There must be a guide that has done Purush Charan Brat. Now, after all these, speaking all these verses, I mean, I'm just speaking from my memory, which is okay, but if I actually had the book in front of me, which is only a few feet away, we could read. But after all those 230, 40 verses, then he's saying, there is a short version. If one is unable to do this longer version, he can do the shorter version. Pranavala, can you turn the kitchen light on? Probably. I love these tall people. You know, I know he's going to do that. Yeah. So there he says the shortcut. We can say shortcut method. That if you want to attain siddhi and get the full effects of Purush Charan Brata, then here's the tip. By Sanatana Goswami, and he's of course quoting different Puranas, whatnot. Take advantage of grahans. Grahan means eclipses. Solar grahan, or they say eclipse of the sun, eclipse of the moon, grahan. And all tantric, so anyone that deals with tantric and people that deal with, you know, Buddhas and prates and all these kind of black magic and all these things, they always, there are certain times and days of the year when they do their tapasya, they do their vratas to get their shaktis and powers. Amavasya, every month on Amavasya. It's a very powerful day for the the dark party. There's black tantra and white tantra. White tantra is what we use in puja and whatnot. It's different tantra. But black tantra is for casting spells and murdering people and many kinds of things like this. Adharmic, irreligious things that are done. Like that. So Amavasya then eclipses. Eclipses are very powerful and very dangerous times. Like I was saying the other day, when there's an eclipse, all the poisonous creatures, their poison becomes 100 times more powerful. So you get bitten by a dog during an eclipse period, when it's actually eclipse. You know, there's eclipse is one muharta or two muhartas. It's not very, you know, there's a sutuk period. Sutuk period and sparsha and muktis. Sutuk means a contamination period. And lunar eclipse is 9 hours, and solar eclipse is 12 hours. That's when, you know, we close the DD doors in the morning and can't open it until 4 o'clock because we close at 4 a.m., we open at 4. So that's 12 hours. And in the middle there's a solar eclipse, you know, because solar, that's called sutuk. Then there's sparsha and mukti or something, when the actual eclipse happens. You know, when the moon gets eclipsed or sun, that's for 48 minutes or an hour, not much. Sparsha means touching, when Rahu touches, and Mukti means when he's out, free. The moon comes out. So the calendars, they tell. So that exactly at that period, if you get bitten by a snake, bitten by a cobra, or any slightly poisonous snake is 100 times, a wasp, a bee, a dog. So that's why generally they say, stand in the holy river, stand in the holy river, or be in your house. Like that, you know, because it's... Huh. So during that's just not the scary about dog bites. But that's a fact. So during the grand time, the full sutuk period, or during it's called moksh means mukti, moksh, sparsha and moksh, during that 1 or 2 hours, You chant the Gopal mantra. You're listening? You chant the Gopal mantra on your mala, on your beads, as many times as you can during that time. You wear a white cloth, you sit on a white asan, you sit in front of your Thakurji. In front of Thakurji or Radhe Shyam. In front of Thakurji, in front of your Thakurji or what do you call it? Tulsi Devi. If you're in a holy place, you can go in a body of water. But it's not absolutely necessary, I asked from my guru. Generally, your feet are in contact with water because all water gets highly surcharged then. You'll see in Radhakund, which I've done these Purusharans in Radhakund many times. But many Goswamis come from Vrindavan. I've recognized them from Radharaman Temple and from Bunki Bihari and for Chariks, and they want to get siddhi on the Gopal mantra in an easy way. So they do like this. So you wear white, sit in your white wool, pure asan should be white and all white in color. And then you chant your Gopal mantra. And it should be dark room, and you do your body totally clean. It's like a yagya, you know. Everything, body totally clean, fresh, tilak everywhere. White cloth, you sit in front, and you chant. First you do puja to Guru, some flower and some arti, and pray for Guru's kripa. And then... because he gave you that mantra, that Diksha mantra. So you pray, you do puja, you have a picture, you put chandan and flower, and arti, ghee lamp, everything, pray, guru. And then you chant. And then afterwards you do puja, and pray to Krishna, give you the fall. This is a thing. Anywhere you can do like this. But yeah, you find out that it's called the sparsha time. You have Indian friends called sparsha and moksh. Sparsha means when it begins, and moksha is when it's over. It's only for 1 or 2 hours. Then you should, whatever time it is, you just totally be block everything out, and it's total concentration on the mantra. And best if the whole period, like sometimes we have 24-hour kirtan, or we chant 64 rounds all day, you know, we do like that, or every day, whatever, many long hours we do bhajan. So this whole period of 12 hours or 9 hours, if you do it, you'll see some amazing results if the mantra is properly chanted, and there's some fine points of that also. But this is told in Hari Bhakti Vilas. And I asked about that, and my guru said, yes, you can do it. I want to do this practice. I've heard about it. and do I have your blessings? That's also very important, to take his blessings for any endeavor. I remember once I heard this, and one sannyasi, Gaudiya Math sannyasi, very famous sannyasi, told me, he said, if you're the sadhaka or disciple is embarking on something, he should take blessings from his guru. Embarking means beginning to do something. For example, he wants to go to Vrindavan and observe Kartik Brat, you know, or something, whatever. So then he should ask, he said, Gurudev, already it's understood he has blessings of Gurudev, or whatever, but he should say, Gurudev, I want to go to Vrindavan and observe Kartik Brat. Will you please give me your blessings to do this seva for the pleasure, for your pleasure and for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna? So yes, yes, you take my full blessings and I wish you all success. I remember once I went and I even asked the sannyasi for blessings, and I said, could you write it on a piece of paper? Because I wanted to have some memory. So he wrote on a piece of paper, he said, My heartly blessings are with you for your Kartik Brata, and may Radharani bestow her may Radharani bestow her full mercy upon you. So I have that paper still. So and because I had heard that principle from this person, this sannyasi, that you should take blessings from senior Vaishnavas or guru before doing something other than your usual sadhana, you know. I'm going to India for a 2-week yatra. Oh, you know, Gurudev, please give me your blessings that I won't make any offenses and that I'll get the most out of my yatra. Like this. So we're Western people. We're very independent and we're very resourceful on our own. So we tend to think, why I don't have to do that? Why I do every year, I do this Kartik Brata, why I have to ask? But the whole idea of the dependence, the subordination to seniors and dependence on mercy, it's very good to always remember that. Because our tendency is, because we're kind of independent by nature, I don't want to disturb or whatever. But it's very nice to feel like because there's 6 symptoms of Sharanagati, and one is to feel that one can't do anything on his own. Even if you're very powerful and skilled and talented, you feel, I don't know how to do this. I need blessings from my guru to do this. So that's nice, that humility, that cultivation. Always we should cultivate the humble feeling and the humble mood. You follow? Some other question? Some other person that didn't ask a question?
I have kind of a second question about bathing in the holy waters.
Yes?
Because, like, in one hand, we know, and I think there is like a general understanding, or like many devotees are saying, that we are not supposed to take baths in the holy waters at night time. I mean, I don't know personally any other Shastric reference to it than the story in Bhagavatam about Nanda Maharaj being imprisoned by Varuna.
Yeah.
But then in the other hand, we see, like, for example, in Radha Kund, so many devotees taking baths at night time, both evening and early morning before sunrise. So could you please tell us your understanding?
Yeah, bathing in the holy waters. Well, generally, it is told in Shastra, it's because the day is divided into 2 periods of, there's 3 modes of nature, and the 24 hours of the day is, there's 2 periods of Sattvagun, 2 periods of Raja, and 2 periods of Tamagun in each day. So there's 6 into 24 is 4. So each period lasts about 4 hours, right? Okay, 4 times 3 is, like, there's the sattvic time in the morning is like, say, 2-3 hours. The sattvic time is like 4 to 7, 3 to 6 is sattvic, and then it's divided like this. So what is told in I haven't read, but I've heard, and I'm sure it's there in Puranas, that in the dark after sunset, it's told, there is a general rule that's understood, although I haven't read it, directly, but I'm sure it's in Shastra, that one should not bathe in a body of water at night. Why? Because the tamasic entities are active in the night. And so, because generally there was not, these shastras were written thousands of years ago, and everyone bathed in rivers or lakes or bathing ponds or kunds that were dug in the fields. Like in Bengal, they dig all these pukoras. They dig a big hole in the rice field and take out all the mud and pile it up and put their house on top of it for the flood time. And where they dug out the hole becomes a big lake, pukora. And so in the sacred lakes and Pavan Sarovar and all this, that the general rule is one doesn't take his bath there or wash his pots and pans at night, because tamagun is dangerous. That's when these living entities, that's their time to move and catch their food and whatnot at night. So they may be dangerous. It's dangerous for physical health. Dangerous for physical health to bathe in any body of water after dark. That I've understood, and I'm sure it comes from Shastra. Now, I think this understanding, which most Indians have, and they've heard it, and they've read it, or if they haven't read it, they've heard it, and it's true also, it's a fact. It's in the Ramayana, it's called Nishichari. Nishichari means Nisha Lila, Nisha. Nishichari means those creatures that move. It's translated rovers of the night. Rovers of the night, when they're moving through the forest, and Dandakaranya sage, Ramchandra with Sita, then all these rakshasas and all these negative demonic beings, they came out at night. And even it says when Ram was fighting in the Ramayana, he said, you better hurry up and fight these rakshasas, because when it becomes dark, they become more strong. These statements are there. These rakshasas and these tamasic lower living entities, monsters and creatures, whatever, they become very strong and powerful after sunset. Buddhas and ghosts and all these, must be knowing. So all these same creatures that are moving around on the surface, negative tamasic creatures, dangerous creatures, are also moving in the water at dark. So we should avoid. So now that type of understanding, I think, is transported into the lokik. It's called lokik vichar, the consideration of the loka, of the world as it is among people. That's been imported into the spiritual life, which is called alokik vichar, alokik, spiritual practices. The holy river, not just a river. The holy lake, and not just a lake. You follow? So I think that's why there's these mixed opinions and these statements about we shouldn't bathe in a local pokor in a village at night, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't bathe in the Radhakund, which may be in the same village. But they're carrying, what's true to one thing is true to the other. But we're not comparing, you can't compare an apple with a mango. They're both fruits, but that's about the only similarity. So the spiritual holy place, water bathing place, cannot really be compared with the material holy place. Because you'll find so many exceptions, like sadhus bathing at midnight, etc., in the Ganga. And as far as that Leela with Vruna Maharaj in 10th canto, Nanda Maharaj, 10th canto of Bhagavatam, in chapter 28, I think, or so, then he went to break his Ekadasi Vrata in a Nara Leela, human-like Leela, and he wanted to take a bath in the morning, but he took too early. So that indicates that by that pastime, one shouldn't take a bath too early. Because too early, exactly what that means, it means that maybe he was taking it too early in the day, that's one point, which I have to see the tikkas, which I haven't seen this point discussed. Or he was taking it before the time of Ekadasi Paran. Because Ekadasi Paran means the time to break Ekadasi. So it's given in the Panchang, in the calendars. You break Ekadasi from sunrise until 9:30, from sunrise till 10 a.m., or whatever. So there's timings. Sometimes you break Ekadasi from 8:30 in the morning till 9:30. It's 1 hour. It's called Paran time. That's when you, if you're doing Nirjal, that's when you drink water. If you're fasting from grains, you eat grains. Not before that. So those Ekadasi laws or rules, maybe he bathed too early in relation to the Ekadasi breaking. So that's why he was captured. But then the higher principle is that... I guess it's still going. The higher principle is that it's Leela, and the Bhagavatam is to establish the supremacy of Krishna over all of everyone else. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this externally it shows, well, he's bathing, but actually the internal purpose or the higher purpose may be that it's that by doing that, Krishna went to Varuna's kingdom, and then it showed that even Varuna, who's one of the primal gods, 33 major gods, Varuna Dev, that even he's worshipping Krishna as supreme. So that's the main point of the chapter. Is the main lesson to be learned is not about bathing too early, but that even the demigod Varuna is worshipping Krishna, a little boy Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So my understanding is that this is why there's some mixed ideas, because people are importing their material understanding of bathing, the negativity of bathing in material holy places, which is apparently in scriptures about human life and human behavior. But as far as bathing in the spiritual waters, I have not read that there's any prohibition about timing, other than what you cited there. And there's no clear indication in the purport that this story therefore indicates that Vaishnavas should not bathe in the dark. I haven't seen any acharyas. You're making that extrapolation on your own, or you could make that. Oh, he bathed too early, so that means it's wrong, so we shouldn't bathe too early. But that's your idea. But I don't see the tikkas are saying that. They're not using this praman or this evidence to establish this point of behavior. Do you follow what I'm saying? But what we see practically, so there's Shastra, there's a Shastra Vidhi, rules of the Shastra, then there's the tradition of the Vaishnav Samaj, what we see our Vaishnavas doing, and then there's the Sadhu Vakya and Guru Vakya. So all these bases we have to consult. So we see in the tradition of Sadhus that they bathe at 2 a.m. at Govinda Kund, or Siddha Manohar, there's a famous Siddha Manohar Das of Govinda Kund. He was doing bhajan late at night, and it was winter time, and he was feeling sleepy on a Jagran of Ekadasi. And he thought, oh, why this sleep? I have to punish this sleep. This sleep is coming. So my body is in tamagun. I have to punish my body. So he jumped in the icy cold waters of Govinda Kund in the middle of January. And it's really cold. It's like cold. I mean, for here, it's like 2 degrees centigrade, 1 degree centigrade at night, 1 o'clock. And the water is also 1 degree. Or maybe a little warmer, not much. So he jumped in there. It's in his biography. Siddha Manohar Das Baba, Saints of Braj. So there, so, oh, why did you do that? It was nighttime. So we see the example of the Vaishnava Samaj. They're bathing at 1 a.m., they're bathing at 12 o'clock, they're bathing at 11 o'clock. So it doesn't appear that they would be doing something wrong or against Shastra. They're Siddhas. He's one of the famous Siddha saints, Siddha Manohar Das, of the last 200 years. What to speak of midnight bathing in Balastami? All the pandas, everyone, no one's telling people not to bathe. Doesn't seem anyone's. And there's a puja, the origin of the puja, I don't know. They give out a piece of paper. There's some goddess of fertility or everywhere, even the most primitive cultures of the world, they have gods and goddesses, which is an amazing, interesting point. Primitive Indians or aboriginals of Australia or anywhere, Africa, they have various ruling Asians, pantheistic gods and gods of nature, gods and nature devis and gods and goddesses, whatever you want to call them, devas and devis. So she's the goddess of fertility for married people that don't have children. She's called Ahori Devi. I don't know whether she's made up or what, I don't know, but there's a paper they published in Hindi, and there's rituals. There's a murti of her at the Sangam, I mean, where the Prikamarga Radhakund meets the Sangam by the Mahabhru temple. There's left hand side, looks like Vrinda Devi or something. That's a Hori Devi, marble murti there, little temple. And they do that ritual of worshiping her, and it's ordered there in that scripture, that puja description of a Hari Devi's puja, that one should bathe in the midnight in the Radhakund in order to get a child, husband and wife, and many. Then they offer a special kind of inedible pumpkin, a green pumpkin. And you must have seen those. That represents the womb of the lady. And they, how many rituals they do. And apparently many ladies get a baby. So that's, that midnight bath is very auspicious. Auspicious for them and propitious. Auspicious and propitious, because they get what they want. I think that's almost out of time. Any more ordinary type questions? No, these are all okay. They're good. And ultimately, again, the golden rule is Sri Guru Uvacha. Sri Guru Uvacha. What does my Sri Guru tell me? Gurudev, what should I do? Well, it's right in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 7. Karpanya dosho pahatasa bhava. And prachami samudha chetasa. Arjuna goes to Krishna. He said, Krishna, karpanya dosho pahatasa bhava prachami tvam shadimam mantra. He says, I'm in anxiety, Karpanya. I'm in anxiety, Krishna. I'm confused about my duty. I don't know what to do. Should I bathe at night in these holy rivers or not? I'm in Barsana. Should I bathe in Kishori Kund at 8 o'clock or not? Or it's too early in the morning? And so he asked Krishna this question in the second chapter, verse 7. He said, Shadiman Tvam Prapanam, I'm your disciple. I'm Shishyashteham Mam Shadiman Tvam Prapanam. Shishya. Aham. I am your Shishya. I'm your disciple. I'm surrendering your feet. I'm asking you, please tell me what to do. So that's the line anywhere. We go to the Gurudev and say, what do I do? And he should be knowing, or he finds out and he tells you, or he can refer you to how to answer your question. Somehow, answers should be arranged for or provided by Guru. I don't know, but ask so-and-so. Just like some Gurus, they give diksha, but they're not so expert in the shiksha, although they're pure devotees and they're very powerful, great devotees. So they say, oh, you can, any questions you have, you can clear with my so-and-so Baba or so-and-so disciple or whatever. This is also there. It doesn't diminish that Guru is Guru. He's your Diksha Guru. And he's your savior. I mean, even there's a great devotee here. He's a pure devotee and he's so many devotees. Guru, Sripad Pran Krishna Das Baba. He even tells disciples, especially Indian ones that speak Hindi and whatnot. He said, if you have any questions, you can. One of his disciples is very learned in all these things. But he's a Diksha Guru, and he's the one you'll remember when you die, and he's the one who'll carry you to the destination. He's your Diksha Guru. And next life will come again, your Sadguru. But yet the Shiksha Guru is arranged. So this way, one way or another, it doesn't mean the Diksha Guru has to be like, know everything and everything. Somehow Krishna's appeared as Diksha Guru to initiate you, and he knows as much as he can know. Because Krishna's unlimited and infinite. I was quite amazed when I heard that. Because generally you think that the Guru knows everything, but this is a clear fact. It's an open secret right here. And no one thinks, I will not take initiation. No, the Guru establishes he's acting as Diksha Guru because he's empowered by the Lord to do that. So then all the Acharya Mam Vijaniyan, Krishna tells in Bhagavatam, Acharya Mam Vijaniyan, the Guru is me. Krishna comes as Guru, Kripa Shakti Murti. Ramchandra, he had Guru. Vashishta Muni, Krishna had Guru, Sandipani Muni, Chaitanya had Guru, Ishwara Puri. And they know everything. They take Guru. When Krishna went to school in Ujjain, he was asking questions of his Guru. Can you teach me the 64 arts? Krishna's a Jagat Guru, and he's acting like a Shishya with Sandipani Muni. There's a few minute, 1 minute left or so. Any questions? Mukunda?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's take more than 1 minute to answer. But it's about Siddhadeha, it's Siddha Pranali.
Turn that light on too, maybe there's one light there, between his window and door. Again, yeah, that's good. Oh, that's really good. Brahma Jyoti. Yeah.
When you receive it from Guru, how is it? Guru is seeing it by some like vision, see you what you are doing, or he that in this pranali you're making this body in the spiritual world, in the Golok Vrindavan.
Yeah, the question is about if in the lines, in those in Gaudiya lines where the Guru is giving the Siddhadeya or Siddhasarup to the disciple, how does the Guru derive that Siddhadeya, or how does he give that? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, I've seen the answers are given differently by different gurus. I believe I've read, and it's available and maybe on the net, from Srila Nathadas Babaji Maharaj, who is the Mahant of Radhakund and one of the most famous contemporary, you know, gurus of the Gaudiya Sampradaya in terms of giving the Siddha Pranali to who is qualified, not everyone, but to who is qualified disciples. From what I remember, I read, I may be forgetting, but they was described that there's the guru, say the Diksha Guru, he goes into meditation. This is what they described about Anantadas, that he goes into meditation. And then he connects. He meditates in all the gurus in his line, his parampara, his diksha guru, param guru, parapara guru, paramesti guru, and then to samasti guru. Samasti guru is Jagat Guru Sri Krishna. So then he meditates and prays, and then the siddhadeya for every sadhaka is in Vaikuntha. The individual Siddhadeya, this is told in Bhakti Sandarbha, based on the Bhagavatam, third canto also, that the Siddhadeya for every sadhaka, every person who's practicing some type of this Vaishnava sadhana, the Siddhadeya is either in Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan, there. And there's different descriptions, sometimes described like a coat hanger, just is dormant, then all kinds of questions. How is the Siddhadeya just like frozen animation or a coat on a coat hanger? Then you, that's mine. You try it on, yeah, that fits. I've seen in this book, I believe it's Acting as a Way of Salvation by one professor who's also a Viraj Bhakta. You know, he's a Western professor, very smart person. I forget the name just now. Haberman, Professor Haberman. He's a long time coming to Vrindavan person, Western person. Maybe he's initiated somewhere, I don't know. Acting as a way of self-realization. And he talks about Raghunuga Bhakti. He talks a lot about the Rasleela troops. Probably Bhagavati knows about the book. So he talks about the Rasleela troops, how they're young Brahmin boys are enacting the parts of Radha and Krishna and trying to enter into their identities, enter into their bhavas, and portray them in the dramas called the Rasleela troops, Rasmandali. So that's why he says acting is a way of self-realization. So acting, drama. So then he went into also discussing Raghunuga Bhakti. So there they say that the spiritual body is there. And he says there that in that book, I believe there, he said there are like so many the spiritual bodies in Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan, which is the highest part of Vaikuntha, they're all just like new cars in a car lot. They're all just shiny new cars. And then the guru gives you the keys and I take that red Porsche. And you go there and you go inside, okay, boom, this is me. You know. This is how to explain, because there's no detailed description of these, other than like it says, like Lord Vishnu is enjoying in Vaikuntha, this is in the third canto, with so many liberated souls that are expansions of his body or eternal resonance of Vaikuntha, something like this. So the spiritual body is there. So the guru, they say, Anantadasa's followers, that he goes into the meditation, samasti guru, who means jagat guru, the sum total of all the gurus, samasti, sama means all. Samasti guru, jagat guru Sri Krishna, he reveals that eternal spiritual form of that individual disciple in the mind and heart of the guru. He sees it like, you know, like a JPEG file or picture. And then when he sees that, then he meets with the disciple at an auspicious time, whatever. And he says, this is your name, this is your color of your skin and your clothes, and this is your seva, etc., etc. And so then other gurus, it's not, this is basically how all gurus do it. They meditate and then they pretty much, they tell you what, or they somehow, it's revealed to them. They don't see it in the spiritual world, it's just revealed to them. The disciple, he receives it as the greatest gift, and he considers that guru is Sakshat Hari. Sakshat Ritve Nasimasa Shastra. The guru is Sakshat Hari. Somehow he sees that I'm qualified to receive this, and he gives this to me, and then I accept that this is my eternal identity. This becomes my Abhiman. Abhiman. Abhiman means my identity. You've heard the term Purushabhiman. Shiva couldn't enter the Rasa dance because he had Purushabhiman. He was thinking, I'm Shiva, I'm so powerful. Then they said, no, you have to be Gopi. You have to have Gopi form, body of a lady. You have to have the submissive mood of a lady, the innocent submissive mood of a lady. No, the Prakriti Bhav, not Purusha Bhav, Prakriti Bhav, and Dainya Bhav, humility, and Dasi Bhav. So then he was given the appropriate body, bathed in Mansarovara. The Nimbarkis say bathed in Mansarovara, and Gaudiyas say bathed in, I don't know, Brahmakund or somewhere, maybe Brahmakund. Anyway, he bathed, and he got this Gopi form and became known as Gopishwar Mahadev, you know, the Shivaling. So then he had the right Abhiman. So the Abhiman, even I mentioned the other day or somewhere, in Bhakti Sandarbha, says, Gopi Baba Abhiman, city something. Jiva Goswami is saying in Bhakti Sandarbha, if one cultivates and fully identifies with Gopi Bhav, with the Bhav that I'm a Gopi, I'm Radharani's eternal Mandri, eternal Sakhi servant. He just cultivates, he said that is equal to Siddhi, that's equal to perfection. Just by that mentality, fully identifying like that. I'm not a material woman or a material man. I'm not anything to do with this, any designation of this world, American, German, this. Moment to moment, I'm Radharani's Dasi. I'm Kinkari, I'm Prakriti Bhav, and I'm Radharani's eternal servant. And my service is this. So whatever identity that the guru gives at that time of Siddha Pranali Diksha, it's not fairy tale, it's not phantasmagoria, it's not imagination. The disciple fully accepts that this is my eternal identity and that my eternal form, and he meditates on that and he prays to have that revealed to him, and he does his bhajan accordingly. And he never doubts, he doesn't doubt and that, oh, well, this is imaginary, or Gurudev just sat down and wrote this down. This is all, this type of thinking is not devotional and is not conducive to advancement. Because anywhere, anything we get, we can doubt the efficacy of it. We can doubt the reality of it. Well, I got this mantra, but this mantra is just words. What are these words? Hare Krishna Ram. You know, faith, vishwas, faith, shraddha. You don't have any asa anyways. Yeah, but I think you're bigger than that. Yeah. Sit on this. Just put it there. Your feet and everything, it's too cold. Maybe you're cold. There's a big difference between the floor and that also. So this is Because we see some acharyas, they say, oh, the disciple meets with the guru and he discusses with the guru what he wants. And I've seen that written in some translation or something of a Bhaktivinoda Thakur book or so, that the guru may give something to the disciple, but if he doesn't like it, he can go back to the guru and change it. I've read something like that in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books. Maybe it was wrong translation. But where Siddhadeh is given, I never heard of such a thing, because it's if someone is going to receive Siddha Pranali Diksha, first of all, he has some awareness of what it all is, and he's very advanced in bhakti. I mean, he understands what is Raghunuga Bhakti. He has a great greed for these things and great thirst and reading and desiring, and the guru recognizes all that. So it's a genuine exchange of the guru recognizing the qualification of the disciple and the advancement of the disciple, and the disciple's genuine eagerness to practice his bhajan and his faith. Otherwise, it's like the Bible, don't cast your pearls before swine. Swine means pig. So they'll just eat them up like dust and it'll be wasted. So he doesn't offer something to someone that doesn't have faith in him or in the process that he's representing, a Siddha Pranali Diksha. At least technically it shouldn't be like that. That if one receives such this great gift, it's a reality. It's been going on for 500 years. It's maybe been eternally going on. Guru revealing the eternal form of the disciple. The first written account we find is in a book called Prem Vilas by Janava Mata's direct disciple, Nityananda Das. And there he talks about how Gopal Bhatta Goswami gave Siddha Pranali Diksha to Srinivas Acharya. Srinivas, you must have heard of Srinivas. He wrote the Six Goswami Asagam. He's famous. The famous threesome, Srinivas, Naratam, and Shamananda. There's many biographies written about them, and they're written. Bhakti Ratnakar, these three personalities are written about so many places and so many times. They're so glorious lives. And it's very clear that he received from So Gopal Bhatta, the six Goswamis, they were also giving the Siddha Pranali. So it's a real practice, it's a bona fide practice, and one has complete faith. And it's a great gift of the Lord, and it's a gift of Radharani. One thinks like this. And in those lines where they don't give the Siddha Pranali, that they emphasize the revelation of one's spiritual body by Nam Bhajan, by the purification, the pure chanting of the holy name, and by the mercy of Nam and Guru, then that Siddhadeha that's there for the will be revealed to the sadhaka. So that's possible. The name is, there's Sarva Shakti, Nija Sarva Shakti, all Krishna's powers in the holy name. So that is the traditional system and way that came down through the Gaudiya tradition for 500 years has been that the guru gives the pranali or the siddha srup to the disciple. That's why Rupa Goswami talks about it. The nectar devotion. Seva sadhaka rupa, and in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it talks about the siddhadeya. It's clear, it's talking about siddhadeya. And it doesn't say anywhere, they don't say anything. There's no so many accounts even written that someone realizes siddhadeya by chanting the holy name, but one can. But you can show, you see where, you see written where a disciple gave Siddha Pranali, I mean Guru gave Siddha Pranali to the disciple. I told you the example of Prem Vilas, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing about the Guru is giving Siddha Pranali and receiving in Jiva Dharma and Harinam Chintamani. So it's very much there that the Guru gives. But it's also true that because Bhakti Sanatha Saraswati, it appears that he introduced the introduced the idea or want to make publicity for the idea that no, Nam Bhajan will give everything. So that was his kind of, at all times for 500 years in Gaudiya Vaishnavism and for eternal time, Nam is all powerful. It will give everything because it's Krishna, Sarvashakti Mahi. But he took that idea and he emphasized it by Nam Bhajan. But that's his introduction in the 1930s. But from 1500s until 1930s, every Gaudiya Vaishnava that was qualified and advanced and had genuine greed for Raghunuga Bhakti and intense desire to practice in this way, he would go to his guru, and the guru would reveal his Siddha Sarup. This is what we call the tradition. It's not something new. But so that's as far as I understand, from what I understand of the whole. The history is there, it's written. This is, but Naam, so you chant the Naam, and I mean, what happened, because you see there is some verses, you can find support here and there, many verses from Sandarvas and other places that one can cultivate on his own because of his own greed. You can even, to some extent, there's even evidence you could design or cultivate your own. That tika is there. You can ask some of your teachers. And this Krishna Karnamrita, there's not, I mean, there are some, you can find some philosophical support for the idea of cultivating your own or designing your own, that I want to serve Radharani like this, in this particular form. Because in that tika, on Krishna, what's it called? Krishna Karnamrita by, what's it? Bilva Mangala Thakur. Verse number 2, I think so, verse 2 or 3, there's a tika by Krishnas Kaviraj, Srangara. I've seen some English translations, but I haven't seen it very clearly brought out there. But it was explained to me by going through the words of that verse. Because that verse says, what the verse is telling there, he says that even before one comes to the platform of Rati or Bhav, one can meditate on the Astakali Lila of Radha and Krishna. That's what the verse is telling, Karnamrita. Then in Tikas it explains that even one who hasn't realized Siddhadeya or hasn't received Siddhadeya, this one word in a verse indicates what's called parikalpya. Parikalpya means that he can design or manufacture or create his own. You can stretch it and expand it to that extent. So if someone's so eager, and some devotees, they say, oh, in a dream I saw my Siddhadeya, or it was revealed to me in a dream. Who can argue that? You know, if that person has faith in that, and they see that, and they believe that, then let them go with that. You know, that's some arrangement that way. So, that's what I can say about that. I know it can get into lots of controversy, but we don't want to get into the controversy. Anymore? I think it's over now. Yeah, it's all heavy questions are going on. my conclusion of the whole thing is from being kind of involved in both paths. What is generally understood as the given path and the revelation path. This is what it's told on the internet. The Siddhadeya that's given, or the revelation they call the IGM way on the internet. IGM means Iskan Gaudiya Math. The IGM way is revelation, that it's revealed to you by Nam Bhajan. It's correct. You can't say that's wrong. It's correct. Nam Bhajan can reveal everything. That one of the most popular verses that we chant all the time is this Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Navavet Navavet Gramindri Sevan Kehi Jivada Swayam Evas Bratyada. This is in Prabhupada's Shloka book, it's from Nectar Devotion. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Navavet Gramindri Sevan Mukhehi Jivada.